we left off last week, we were discussing the Machlokes, the Rambam, and the Rosh, as to what Chazal meant when they said that Laila is Lavzman Tzitzis. So according to the Rambam, what that means is that at night, you never wear Tzitzis, no matter what, no matter what kind of beged you're wearing, it doesn't matter. There's no mitzvah Tzitzis at night. And the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says no. The Rosh says that if you're wearing a night type of a garment, you're wearing pajamas, four-cornered pajamas, then you don't have to wear tzitzis, even if you're wearing them in the daytime. But if you're wearing a four-cornered day garment, even in the nighttime, you're going to be chayav in tzitzis. And we pass in the loch, that's a sveik in the dina, and therefore we wouldn't make a bracha unless one has both conditions met. One is both wearing a daytime garment, plus you're wearing it in the daytime, then and only then would one be actually chayav in tzitzis. So that machlokes, the Ram of the Rosh spills over in terms of Hilchos Brachos in the other direction also. The Rishonim raise a question, what's the din if a person is wearing their tzitzis the entire night? And now the morning comes, should they recite a new bracha? So the answer is also depends on the Ram and the Rosh. According to the Rambam, it was a big break. For 10 hours, there was no mitzvah tzitzis. Even though you were wearing the baguette, but you weren't fulfilling any mitzvah during those 10 hours. So when the next morning comes, you should be obligated to recite a new bracha. Whereas according to the Rosh, l'chora, even during those 10 hours, you will yaitze the mitzvah. Because according to the Rosh, it's a ksus yom, albeit balayla. You're still chayiv in the mitzvah. So according to the Rosh, it was never a break. So according to the Rosh, when the morning comes, you shouldn't recite a new bracha. Then one can further raise a question, whether a person went to sleep with his tzitzis on. So maybe you can argue that sleep itself is considered to be a break. Maybe not. Maybe sleep is not a break at all. Maybe according to the Rosh, don't make a bracha. So we assume that all of these cases are all sfeikas nedinas. We're not sure what the answers to any of these questions are. And therefore we tell people, if they wore tzitzis the entire night, whether they slept or didn't sleep, when the morning comes, they shouldn't recite a new bracha. But it's only a sfeik. So we recommend that they should either hear the bracha from somebody else, who's putting on tzitzis for the first time that day, or if they're wearing a talis gadol, so then they can make a bracha on the talis gadol, thereby exempting the talis gadol, like most of us do, many of us do every day anyway. So that's what the practice is on Shavuos morning. So in the morning, most of us put on a talis gadol. So when you put on a talis gadol, so you have in mind to part of the talis katan as well. And for those bachrim who are not wearing talis gadol, so then we usually have somebody make the bracha on the sati b'tzitzis, which again, even though we don't make that bracha on talis katans, but since sati b'tzitzis is the ika bracha, amitzas tzitzis is a psalminik from the Rishonim, l'sati for sure is the correct bracha. So therefore, one can be yaitzi with that bracha l'sati for the talis katan as well. But again, this is all because we're not sure what the din is in terms of wearing tzitzis in the evening. There is a discussion in the Balskim, what would the din be if a person puts on a beged during Ben HaShemashos, put on a talis during Ben HaShemashos, or if you have tzitzis during Ben HaShemashos, would it be appropriate to recite a bracha or not? So some achrayim write that maybe you can recite a bracha, it's a sfeik, right? Because maybe the Rambam's right, maybe the Rosh is right. So if the Rosh would be right, then you can make a bracha even in the middle of the night, because it's a beged of Yuchav Niyoy. And even if the Rambam is right, it's only Ben HaShemashos, so it's only a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, it's between Shki and Seis, so maybe that's like a Shtichol Sveik Sveika. So based on the principle of Sveik Sveika, you can recite a bracha. So that's a big question. It's a big question on two fronts. Number one, do we count Ben HaShemashos to a Sveik Sveika? And number two, can you make brachas based on Sveik Sveika? So there's a lot of lumps in both of those questions. Not the time and the place right now. But suffice to say, there are some Acharen who want to be Mekel, so you could recite a bracha on make a machlokes, whatever you want to call it, but you could recite a bracha if you put on a talis during Ben HaShemashos. So the Magen Avraham has another reason to believe why you can recite a bracha during Ben HaShemashos. The Magen Avraham writes that the reason why you don't wear tzitzis at night, at least according to the Rambam, is because of Risimoso. That's what the Pesuk says, Risimoso Prat Lalaila. So the Magen Avraham says that since the Torah formulates the din in terms of Re'iyah, it's not a function of Yom V'Layla. It's not like other areas of Halacha where there's a Zman of Yom, a Zman of Layla. Say, Lamashal, Tkiyah Shofar. So the Torah says, Yom Teruah Yelachem, when the Tilas Lulav, V'kachtem Lachem B'Yom Rishon. So you have to perform these mitzvahs by Yom. If a person dilly-dallied and didn't hear the shofar, didn't shake the lulav till Ben HaShemashos, then we're not sure whether he yaitzeh the mitzvah. Ben HaShemashos is a suffig yom, suffig lilav. Maybe it's ready the next night. And we're not sure, is that considered to be a fulfillment of the din of Vayom Rishon, of Yom Teruah? So then you wouldn't be able to recite a bracha. Let's say if a person got stuck and he realized it's Ben HaShemashos, that he didn't hear shofar yet, he would have to blow the shofar again. Or for the first time, he'd have to blow the shofar because of suffig deraisa l'chumra, but he couldn't recite a bracha. So the Magen Avraham says that's true when the Torah formulates a mitzvah in terms of Yom versus Laila. So Ben HaShemashos, once the sun sets, that's already a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. But here the Torah doesn't say where tzitzis by Yom. The Torah says, where tzitzis at a time of Re'iyah, the way the Rambam is interpreting the Drasha. Where tzitzis at a time of Re'iyah. So says the Magen Avraham, even after the sun sets, you can still see, for a few minutes after Shkia, you can still see Haraya. What's the Raya Brua? From the DMV. Remember from the, what's the official rule? At what time do you have to turn on your lights? Remember? 30 minutes, right? I think that's the official rule, no? Am I right? I think technically you're allowed to, you can't be pulled off for a ticket for 30 minutes after sunset. I think that's the rule. They must hold like the Y Yipzach, 30 minutes is Teis Kichav, that's Chashecha. I wouldn't recommend to do that. For the new drivers, they should turn on the lights earlier at that point. But technically speaking, for a few minutes after Shki, you can still see. So if you can still see something, I'm going to rub, it still is Manor E, and you can still fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, because the mitzvah of tzitzis is not a function of Yom HaLeil, it's a function of Re'iyah versus Manor E. So the Chassam Sofer has a comment that Magen Avraham, the Chassam Sofer writes, that if the Magen Avraham is right, that this man of tzitzis is not a function of Yom V'Layel, it's a function of Re'iyah, so then if you put candles in the room, in the middle of the night, you should be chayav in tzitzis, even according to the Rambam. So he says, Lo Shemana Davaz HaMeyamam. He said, you could see. So the Torah says, well, the Torah says Re'iyah, Re'iyah doesn't mean literally Re'iyah, Re'iyah means this man of Re'iyah, which means the Yom versus Layla. So, but the Magen Avraham didn't say that way. The Magen Avraham in the Chiddush, that even during Ben HaShemashos, you can put up the tzitzis b'teres vada and make a bracha. So when does the Shaila come up? Who's putting on tzitzis during Ben HaShemashos? So we have one night a year we run into this problem. So a person is going to put on a talus for Kol Nidre. So if he gets the shul on time, if the shul is starting Kol Nidre on time, so he's all ready to roll, he's got his tefillah zakah, he's ready minutes before Shkia, good. But every once in a while, the people are the latecomers who come rolling in, and say, it's ready after Shkia. Wants to put on a talus. Can he recite a bracha on a talus after Shkia? It's a big Shaila. So according to Sabach Haranim, maybe yes, based on a Sveik Sveika, because maybe the Rush is right. And even if the Rambam's right, well, it's only a Suffolk, Suffolk Laila. So maybe we can justify reciting a bracha based on Svek Sveka. And the Magen Avraham is another sad point. The Magen Avraham, as long as it's just a few minutes after Shkia, you can still recite a bracha because it's still considered to be a Zman Re'iyah. And Mishnah Berurah quotes that other Rechavim don't buy either one of these Cheshbonos. So it's for this reason we strongly recommend that a person should try to make his bracha on a talus before Shkia. Missed it, it's after Shkia. Maybe you can justify it based on several different cheshbonos. But lechatchila, why don't you try to recite the bracha, put the talus on before Shkia. So I've told over the story about when I used to be the Rav in Paramus, so we used to have this issue. Now, when I first came to Paramus, so they scheduled Kol Nidre very, very close to Shkia, a little bit too close for my comfort level at the time. But I had just come, to town a week before. I was going to start changing the Zmanim. I waited for the next year until I changed the Zmanim. But that first year, so it was a little bit tight. Okay, so the saying of Kol Nidre before Shkia, after Shkia, that's far from the end of the world. The whole meaning of saying Kol Nidre before Shkia is really a throwback to the days of the Gaonim. The Gaonim's opinion was that Kol Nidre is Ataras Nedarim. So it's Ataras Nedarim, you're not supposed to be Matan Neder on Shabbos and Yom Tov, only on certain very extenuating circumstances. So that's when the minute became to say Kol Nidre before Shkia. Then Rabbi Natam changed the minute. Rabbi Natam said that Kol Nidre is not Ataras Nedarim. Kol Nidre is a Modo. It's a declaration that Nedarim in the future will be Batel. That you can do on Shabbos. What's wrong with doing that on Shabbos? So the man said, still, you should keep it before Shkia. So that minig is stuck for 1,000 years already of saying Kol Nidre before Shkia. If it don't be or it didn't, it's probably not really necessary. So that didn't concern me as much. That's why we're not so machmir about the second or the third time around in Eshul. Usually I look at the clock right when you finish the first one just to give a little sigh of relief. One of the Kol Nidres is good. And the years when they're running a little bit tight, the whole nusach of Kol Nidre is not even, even if it's Ataras Nedarim, because once you say the first time, Kol Nidre, Losharir, once you say the first Losharir, the fact that you're still singing along for another 3 minutes, that's just Latil Sefer's beer a little bit. Once you said it's not Kayim, finished. The Nedar is Batal, so it's Batal's Batal, so the rest is Chazanis. So it's not the end of the world. The Kol Nidre post Shkia is not the end of the world. But in Paramus, they had a little bit of a complication. Because in Paramus, they had the minute, like the Yekis do, Adi Yom HaZeh, do Chakras also, that the Rav gets up, I think it's the Rav does it in the morning in Brayz. I know I used to do it for a Shana Yom Kippur, so the Rav would recite the bracha on Lesatim Petzitzis, and supposedly be Motzi everybody, but everyone was being Yotzi, and I can't tell you, but the Rav made it loud, the bracha, Lesatim Petzitzis. It was so much part of the minhag that it was on the schedule. The schedule, when they printed out the schedules for Yom Kippur, so the schedule starts with Atifas Talis. So it has a tifa stalas ketz. Let's say the marshal, if shkia was, I don't know, 6:45. So it has kol nidre starting at 6:42, whatever, 43, whatever it is. And then a tifa stalas at 6:40, whatever, a few minutes before. So one of my jobs as the rabbi for tifa stalas is to recite the bracha out loud. So what's the problem with that? The problem is that I wanted to be makabel Yom Kippur earlier, because I like to say Tefillah Zakah. So part of the Tefillah Zakah includes the Sefer Kabbalah Sayom, which according to many is a Shabbat Mitzvah Deraisa, to be Kabbalah Pateh. According to many Falskim, the Mitzvah Sefer Yom Kippur requires that you make a verbal declaration to be Kabbalah the Kedushas Sayom several minutes before Shkia. So, 2 minutes, 6 minutes, 18 minutes, a half hour, different opinions, how much the Kabbalah is supposed to be, but it's supposed to be something. So now, so all the years, I had always said tefillah. I put on my talis first, made a bracha, and said the whole tefillah zakah. And when I got to Kabbalah Sayom, so good. But here the problem was that this schedule was now forcing me not to say the whole tefillah zakah, not to say that part until after I put my tzitzis on, because if it's tzitzis on, it's already a shail of laila. Once you become, I'm sorry, after you say tefillah zakah, it's already a shail of laila because you become kedushas Sayom. So now it's considered to be laila. So once it's laila, it's not so posh you can make a bracha satir, but tzitzis, even though the sun is still shining, that's also a shail in the poskim. So now I got myself into a rut over here that it's there's not enough time for me to. I didn't want to wait till to start saying tefillah zakah afterwards. After my tzitzis on, it's already 2 minutes before shkia. You're supposed to be makabel the yom minutes before that. So I got myself into a little bit of a catch-22. So the bottom line is, the next year I changed this manim. So I made it. I made kol nidre a little bit earlier. I made the tefillah zakah a little bit earlier, and that way I made the tefillah talis a little bit earlier. That way I was able to do the tefillah talis, my job as the rabbi. And then afterwards, I made my bracha, so plenty of time to spare. So every year I used to push kol nidre back a couple of minutes. And then by the time, after 5 years, I got to the point where I wanted it to be. Then the last Yom Kippur that I was there, so they already had changed the Minhagim. They already switched. Well, all those years that I was there, they were davening Rosh Hashanah Kippur, the Yekeshev Minhag. The rest of the year, they were not. There's a lot of them. I'll leave out all the details right now. I'm not sure you can get filled in from the people close to you. But the last year, so already even the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur part went by the wayside. So when the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Minhag was changed, so then we changed the. There was no Tifa Talis anymore on the schedule. That was it. Then I was a free as a bird. I was able to do whatever I wanted. So then I said, if you really want, you can make Kol Nidre later again. I have no problem. I don't know what happened. Then I left. After that year after Sukkot, that was the end of my 6 years in Paramus. So I'm not sure what's going on there now. But anyway, so there was a lot of lumdas going on. It was all the chassidus that got the lumdas started. So it's interesting because these were the first shiurim that I gave when I first came to Paramus. So my first halacha shiurim, the first series that I gave, was Takanot Chassidus. It was the same as far as this. We'll stop with being of our chaim and see how far we get. So thank you for allowing us to come to the shiurim of those years. Those early days. Because we pass in the halacha that Laila's loves matzitzis, either the Rambam's version or the Rush's version, therefore the Gemara says the corollary of that is that tzitzis is a mitzvah saseishas man grama. The women are pturos from tzitzis because it's a mitzvah saseishas man grama. If you hold like the Rabbanon, who hold that tzitzis is beba yom beba laila, so then taka women achievas in tzitzis. But the Gemara says we don't pass like that. We pass like Rabbi Shimon, that tzitzis is a zman grama. Therefore women are pturos. I've said many times that there are very, very few mitzvah saseishas man grama. There are 6, 7, depending on how you count. It's a shaila about some of them. But how come we could call there less than 10 mitzvah saseishas man grama that women of Pturos from. So a couple of months ago I was saying a shiur in yeshiva, and I made that it was like a shiur klol at the beginning, a shiur psich at the beginning of this man. So I was talking about I think you were there. We talked about whether the mitzvah shvis on Shabbos is a mitzvah seishes man grama, not the asay, I'll also say. So I made mention to the fact that there are hakol mikol kol maybe 6 mitzvah seishes man grama. So one of the rabbanim who was listening to the shiur came up to me afterwards and says, no, the Rambam says there are 14. I said, 14. He said, no, it says, take the Farish and Rambam, there are 14. So I went to go look up the Rambam and say for mitzvahs. It's not true. The Rambam says there are 14 mitzvahs that women are pturos from, that men would be chet. He lists off, Tabatara, Pijabedra, he lists off all the mitzvahs that women are pturos from, not because of mitzvah seishas man grama. The mitzvah seishas man grama, I was talking right, 5, 6, 7, whatever the exact numbers are. Then the Rambam lumped together the rest of them and got the number 4. I didn't want to go back and argue it out with that particular Rav, so we were both a little bit right. Anyway, but when it comes to mitzvah seishas man grama, so women are for sure pturos, and tzitzis, we pass, the halacha qualifies as one. What would the din be? Let's say a woman wants to volunteer to put on tzitzis. Hashas advarim should be. It should be like any other mitzvah say she has margaroma. Can a woman volunteer to sit in the sukkah, volunteer to shake a lulav, be a shofar? So we assume that yes, we mentioned it last night and this year in a different context. We assume that women can volunteer. Not only can they volunteer, they can even recite a bracha. That's the meaning of Ramin Atam. The Rambam says that they cannot recite a bracha, but Ramin Atam says they can. It says, Asher kidushanu v'tzvayis v'tzivanu. So the Ran writes that v'tzivanu doesn't refer to me personally. V'tzivanu refers to Klal Yisrael. Asher kidushanu v'tzvayis v'tzivanu. Kedush Baruch Hu gave this mitzvah to the Jewish people. And I'm about to hear the shofar. I'm about to sit in the sukkah. I'm about to shake the lulav. Even though for me personally, it's not really an absolute techiyah. That's what the Ran teaches up. Asher kidushanu v'tzvayis v'tzivanu. That's assuming that the Ran was litvish. If the Ran was chassidish, that wouldn't work because it would be Asher kidushanu v'mitzvayis v'tzivanu. So that would be not correct. But we assume that the brach is Hashem the tzibur. So the chora, just as lulav and sukkah and shofar women can recite a bracha, so they should recite a bracha for tzitzis as well if they choose to volunteer to put it on. What should be the problem? So the Ramah quotes an age-old practice that women should not be putting on tzitzis. Why should women not be putting on tzitzis? So the Ramah writes, because going back to the first year of tzitzis, the fact that we go out of our way to put on a beggar of tzitzis b'zman hazeh, that's already a midas chasidus. That's already above and beyond the call of duty. Technically speaking, if you're not wearing a four-cornered beggar, so you don't put a tzitzis on, finish. The Torah doesn't say you have to wear tzitzis. The Torah says if you're wearing a four-cornered beggar, then you have to put on tzitzis. So we want to go with finimishur sadin and put tzitzis on because we want to get chop around an extra mitzvah. So that's considered to be a hiddur to do that. That's the finimishur sadin. So there are more rights that the medav ramamura makes sense for somebody to do a finimishur sadin. That's for somebody who, once you do it, at least you're going to be mitzvah. Once you put the four-corner beggar on, at least you're going to be chayv in the mitzvah tzitzis. For a woman to go out of her way to put on a four-corner beggar and thereby, quote-unquote, I can't even say the word with a straight face, obligate herself to be yotzei tzitzis, she's not obligated anyway. So the Ramah says, that's not a midas chasidus, that's a psayura. Yura means, when you do this like a show-offy kind of thing, you're trying to, I'm from than you, I'm super duper from, I'm going to do some kind of a shtick, to do something that shows off how from I am. So the Ramah writes, that doesn't make sense, for a woman to go put on tzitzis, which anyway she's not chayavis in, so what's she showing off, what's she trying to accomplish? So it's too much, it looks like it's already too showy, and therefore the Ramah writes, we should strongly discourage women from putting on tzitzis. In the olden days, when normal people walked around with four-cornered begadim, and if a woman happened to have been wearing a four-cornered bag and she wants to put tzitzis on, no problem, we have no qualms, says the Ramah. But bizman is there, when nobody wears four-cornered begadim. So you can go put a dalat kantos on, you can go put a talis kotel, you can go put a talis gadol on, just to show how from I am, that I'm volunteering to perform a mitzvah that I'm not even chayiv in. So the Ramah writes, that's not appropriate, we should stop it, that's mechzik yuhara. The Rav was once asked about a certain practice, whether it was a mechzik yura, does it look like yura? Yura is the phrase to me, it's like gaiv, it's like showiness. So the Rav was asked, is it such and such practice, whatever the practice was, is that a mechzik yura? Does it look like yura? So the Rav thought for a minute, he says, no. So it's not mechzik yura. Does yura, mamish. So that's the real thing. So therefore, the poskim frown upon this practice of women wearing begadim to be chayav in tzitzis. One could argue that once the Ramah is already set into practice that women don't wear these kinds of begadim, if a woman goes ahead and wears one of these begadim, it may be a much more serious problem as well as that. Maybe a problem with begadish. Once something becomes miyuchad for men, people look at it and say, "This is a man's clothing. This is not a woman's clothing." So that's an issa deraisa now. Already a begadish, begadisha. So if a woman walks around with a talis, so everybody should be associating wearing a talis with a man. So a woman goes out and wears a talis, even though Bismana Gemara, if you had a woman wearing a four-cornered bag and putting tzitzis on, so was mom. So we had no problems with that. But Bismana Zeh, that becomes problematic. For a similar reason, it's a similar conclusion, a different reason. So there are more rights in Chus Tefillin that we discourage women from wearing Tefillin Bismana Zeh also. There are more rights that if a woman wants to wear Tefillin, Moichin Biyah, that we should stop her. Why? So Chora, this is the same Svara, that she can volunteer to shake a lulav, she can volunteer to send a sukkah, a shofar. We don't send the woman out when she comes to hear the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. We forget, we encourage. We make another shofar blowing for the woman. We want the woman to hear shofar. So Madishtana, that tefillin that we discourage, that's a different part of the Gemara. There are more quotes that Vizmana Gemara, so people used to wear tefillin all the time. The Gemara, the whole third pack of Brachas talks about the guy's at work, he's carrying a package on his head and he's got his tefillin on, what does he do? So you have to, what's he doing with his tefillin on in the middle of the day? The answer is everybody wore tefillin all day. That was the correct practice. They were supposed to wear tefillin all day. The Ga'inim write that we have a practice not to wear tefillin all day. Since we assume in HaTorah you yell say tefillin even with wearing it for a moment, a very, very short minyanim, in and out. So in HaTorah you yell say even with the shortest amount of tefillin every day. But L'chadchil you're supposed to wear them all day. So the Gaonim write that we don't follow that lechatchila anymore because we're afraid people are not as kaddish as they were, not as Torah as they were. People are going to get distracted.
So based on that premise, not all day, but why did we stop wearing the mincha? And it would make sense. Marav obviously is the Laila.
Right.
Under the concept, you know, since we wore all day, so make tefillin attached to every tefillah.
Right. So the answer most probably is the same reason that Gaonim said that people are Masiach Das, people, it's hard enough for people to wear tefillin during Shacharis and to keep their minds clear of other inappropriate thoughts. So a person's in the middle of a work day, going to tell them to go run, throw on tefillin for 5 minutes, it's going to lead to, it's going to be a bizarre of tefillin.
So one more question, not to belabor the point, but is it wrong to, let's say, a person feels better putting on tefillin during mincha, it's not feeling great in the morning, says, you know, I'm going to skip putting on tefillin, I'm going to put it on mincha, or is it so kavu of halacha, to be kavu the mincha, that it's become like Saint
Krishma's mono. No, I mean, obviously we would opt, I would always encourage a person to put on tefillin and shacharis for, unless, let's say, the potl, sometimes a person doesn't feel well physically, and in his stomach, sometimes there are reasons.
Because we, in today's world, putting on tefillin is almost, you know, yavro, but the fact is that a person has any, his mind is not, he wakes up early and really, then mincha is more covered they could put on.
Yeah, but I would, as a policy, I would never ever recommend the person to put on mincha at the expense of shacharis for a simple reason: he's going to forget. So
right.
I see this all the time, and every whenever you see that bachur in yeshiva wearing tefillin mincha, you know what that means. It means he woke up, he missed shacharis, woke up at 11 o'clock. I tell people when they miss shacharis, they should put tefillin on right away. Don't even wait till mincha. Put them on right away. Unless a guy wakes up at 12 o'clock, mincha is 12:30. Okay, that's one thing. But a guy wakes up at 11 o'clock, and it's a summertime, mincha is till 8 o'clock. I would never tell him to wait till 8 o'clock. It's going to happen. He's going to forget to put on tefillin that day. So put on tefillin now. Say Krishna, why don't you put on tefillin for mincha later? Okay, we're on a different story. There are people in Eretz Yisrael who you walk around the old city, so there are one of the yeshivas there, so they all put on tefillin by mincha. That's the minute. Okay, so
in
that particular,
in addition to
in addition to shachs, yeah, help. Either that, everyone wakes up, that's the minute the yeshiva wakes up like that. So again, so that's already okay. You have yichidei school, you're in the rova, you're in the special aura of kedusha. It's a different story. But for a regular pashut guys to stop putting on tefillin by mincha time, I think that's a little smacks, a little bit of your also. Remember, Rav Nebuchadnezzar puts on his tefillin for mincha. Okay, so that's besides shacharis. Okay, so that's it's a different. How do I know they put on tefillin for mincha? A couple of years ago, when I was a chiyah for davening, so I just finished a shiur in the Tivarye, and it was time for daven mincha right after the shiur. So Rav Nebuchadnezzar was sitting in the back of the shiur. So I thought, okay, good, he's listening to the shiur. I figured he doesn't understand English anyway, so I can say whatever I want. And afterwards, they told me, no, he speaks, he understands fluently, he understands everything. So then I started to shake him afraid whether he liked the shiur or not. He said yishkoach, so I guess I didn't say anything terrible. But so then I was about to start the down for the Yomid. So they said, oh, just wait for Rav Nevinsel. You know, they said, don't start Asher until Rav Nevinsel is ready. So I looked around, I saw Rav Nevinsel standing there. I was about to start Asher. No, he didn't put his tefillin on yet. Okay, so I turned around, so he was putting on his tefillin. I said, okay, fine. So that's how I learned that he puts on tefillin for the Zeni. Of course he puts on tefillin for mincha. Okay, so Yechidei school, but for the most of us, it's not that way. Anyway, getting back to this post. So the Ramon writes that women should be discouraged from putting on tefillin, because we only put on tefillin when you have to. We put on tefillin for shacharis, we don't leave them on the whole day. So the Ramon writes that we who are so machped, we're so careful to make sure we don't violate the Kedusha's tefillin by putting them on unnecessarily. For a woman to put them on is like unnecessarily. A woman to put them on for shacharis is like the rest of us putting them on for mincha, basically. The same way we discourage people from putting them on as a bizarre, potential bizarre tefillin, so women should be discouraged from wearing tefillin. So the bottom line is, it's two Ramos for two different reasons, but both tzitzis and tefillin, so the Ramos strongly recommends, maichin the other, we should prevent women from doing these kinds of things. More of this topic we'll leave for another time, another place, but in terms of the pure halacha, this is what is shtey in the Ramos, this is what the minhag ha'olam is supposed to be. There is a question based on the fact that we don't generally put on tzitzis at night. At least we wouldn't make a bracha misofik at night. We always run into the problem when you daven very early shacharis. Now I think we're we're okay for a little bit, not too long, but okay for a little bit. And but the Zman get very, very late. Netzach Chama is not until very late. A lot of Minyanim are starting well before the Zman. So the question is, what's the earliest time to recite a bracha on the tzitzis? That's a big machlekes at Poskim. So some Poskim say, Alos HaShachar. The Ramah quotes, Alos HaShachar. Once it's ready, the beginning of the morning, it's okay. And others say, no, the Zman is what we call Mishayakir. The Gemara has a discussion about the Shir Mishayakir. The earliest time you can tell, recognize somebody from a few feet away. So the Gemara has that Shir. And in other areas of Halacha, the question is whether that Shir carries over to Chassid. Or not. So we usually try to rely on that. We usually follow that opinion that Mishayakir is the earliest time to recite a bracha and tzitzis. If a person finds that they have to put the tzitzis on beforehand, so then one can put the tzitzis on before and then recite a bracha later when the time of Mishayakir comes, so then one can recite the bracha. We have different practices, different minyan about how to do this. You know, practically speaking, should you hold off for the talis till you, if the ishtabach, should you put it on without a bracha, make the bracha afterwards? There are a lot of different nuances as to what the most practical way to pull this off is. But again, this is all emanating from the fact that we don't want to make a bracha before this man. According to the Rush was in Gerus, this whole problem. According to the Rush, you can put your talis on at 2 o'clock in the morning and recite a bracha. There's no qualms about that. But we're chayshish for the shit around, and therefore we don't. When we talk about the zman of tzitzis, so we spoke primarily about the nighttime and how this spills over in terms of a woman's obligation or lack thereof. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara about the mitzvah tzitzis, particularly as it relates to Shabbos. Is Shabbos any different in terms of the mitzvah tzitzis? So the Rishonim point out that Mordechai has a comment, I think we quoted this Mordechai earlier on, Mordechai has a comment about tzitzis on Shabbos, where he says that if you think about it, tzitzis on Shabbos is more lenient than tzitzis the rest of the week. Because if a person is wearing a four-cornered baguette and doesn't have tzitzis on, so the rest of the week, that's called the bittul ha-mitzvah. Because you're supposed to do the mitzvah, supposed to put tzitzis on. If you don't, you're being mevatel to the mitzvah. When it comes to Shabbos, so let's say a person puts on a four-cornered baguette and he doesn't have tzitzis on. So what do you mean he's mevatel to the mitzvah? What does the Torah want him to do? If I were to ask Moshe Rabbeinu now, what do you want me to do? You want me to tie tzitzis strings on? So Malach and Shabbos, I can't make knots, I can't tie tzitzis strings on. So obviously, I can't do the mitzvah now. So the Mordechai writes, if you can't do the mitzvah, so you're potter from the mitzvah. So if a person is wearing a four-cornered baguette and he can't do the mitzvah, so he can't do the mitzvah, finish. So he doesn't do the mitzvah. And therefore, it's permitted to wear the baguette. The Mordechai writes, it's not an isser to wear a four-cornered baguette. The Torah doesn't say, lo silbash baguette bleed tzitzis. The Torah says, when you have a four-cornered baguette, put the strings on. And if my hands are tied and I can't put the strings on, so I can't put the strings on, but I can still wear the baguette. So that's what the poskim extrapolate. Let's say a person's on a desert island and they don't have any strings and they want to wear a four-cornered baguette. So the poskim writes, so wear the baguette. You're allowed to wear the baguette. There's nothing awesome about wearing the baguette. Whenever you can't do the mitzvah, so you're not mechuyv in the mitzvah. So on a shachar pasuk, you're not mechuyv to do the mitzvah. And there's no iser to wear the baguette. If the Torah would have said, L'subash baguette, L'tzitzis, then I wouldn't have been able to. But once the Torah doesn't formulate the mitzvah that way, then it's all right. But the Gemara says that there's another problem. If a person is wearing a four-cornered baguette and he has no tzitzis on, that's not so bad on Shabbos. But what if he has puzzle tzitzis on? So that's a whole different ballgame. If a person has a four-cornered baguette and he has puzzle tzitzis on, if he's indoors, or if he's outside where there's an Eruv, that's also not a problem. But if there's no Eruv, so then he has a completely different problem on Shabbos. That's the problem of carrying on Shabbos. The Gemara says that the strings are considered to be like carrying. Kozman, that the strings are kosher, they're enhancing the baguette, they're part of the baguette, so that's okay. Anything that's part of the baguette, that's serving the baguette, is considered to be wearing. That's carrying. So I'm also, I'm wearing a jacket. So I'm not only wearing the jacket, but the buttons are also, the buttons are part of the jacket, because the buttons are serving a purpose. What purpose are they serving? So right now I happen not to be buttoning my jacket, but I could button my jacket. They tell me to take pictures at a chassidus, so the only time I ever button my jacket, so you could theoretically button your jacket. So the buttons are serving a purpose, they're part of the jacket. Well, let's say even these buttons, which are not, can't do anything with these buttons, but they look pretty. They're that's the style. So you have buttons. So any button that's serving either a practical purpose or an ornamental purpose, that's okay. So check all the buttons are doing something. In theory, there's some we can button into anything. The only buttons that maybe are no good are the reserve buttons. If you have like in the bottom of your shirts, you got a couple of spare buttons on the bottom. So taka some place can hold it's a problem. Some place can say when there's no Erev, so you have to take those buttons off before Shabbos. A shot of carrying. It's a big machlekes about that. So that's the general rule. The Gemara says that anything that's serving a purpose is considered to be bottle. It's considered to be part of the baguette. So then the Gemara raises the question: well, what if I have tzitzis and the tzitzis If they're kosher, and they're serving a purpose, they're part of the beged. But what if the tzitzit's the puzzle? So if they're not serving a purpose, so then they become considered to be carrying. So the Gemara says, really? They're carrying just because they're not serving a purpose? Let's say I have something on a beged that's bechlal not serving any purpose. It's a staple from a cleanest tag that I didn't take out. It's not serving any purpose. So the Gemara says, nah, that's for sure not carrying. That's bottle for a different reason. That's bottle because it's meaningless, it's worthless. Something can be bottle for one of two reasons. It's either bottle to the beged if it's serving a purpose. It's one of three reasons. It's bottle to the beged if it's serving a purpose. It's bottle to the beged if it looks pretty. Or it's bottle to the beged if it's mamish tvar b'talim, if it's after the hour. It's worthless. No one's ever going to walk around saving the staples from the clearest tags. But if you have something connected to the beged that's worth something, that it is shayach to use it for something, but right now it's not pretty and it's not serving a purpose to the beged, that's considered to be carrying in Shabbos. So Gemara says, Poslot Tzitzis fall right into that category. Why? Because the Poslot Tzitzis, they're not serving a purpose right now because they're Posl. On the other hand, they're not going into the garbage because you're going to recycle them, you're going to reuse them. The Gemara says, you're going to take the strings and eventually, when they're Posl, you'll add on other strings, you'll take them off, you put them to another beged, you're not going to throw them into the garbage, the strings are expensive. So therefore the Gemara says that the Tzitzis are considered to be right smack in that category where wearing Poslot Tzitzis on Shabbos is considered to be a problem of carrying on Shabbos. Why are the tzitzis going to be recycled? What's so expensive about them? So some of the Rishonim write, because they're tcheles. Tcheles is very expensive. Oh, which leads us to believe that maybe our tzitzis, who recycles that tzitzis? When you have tzitzis become possible, what do you do with it? Put them in a bag and throw them in the garbage. Nobody reuses strings anymore. So, l'chor of this man hazeh, this din doesn't apply. The pashas that dvarim is that in today's society, even though the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say this, but in Radin, maybe they did recycle the old strings. But in Tavshinai and Dalet, Elefiani is the Aiti, all the reasons of the Gemara that the strings are choshev because you're going to reuse them because they're treles or they're stam a waste of money to throw them into the garbage, none of that applies to Bizman Hazeh. So Bizman Hazeh, l'chora, when you have posel tzitzis, that's like having a staple from a laundry tag. L'chora is nothing, it's dvarim b'teilim, it's kiyaf for the hour, and therefore wouldn't really be considered to be carried. The pashas is a dvarim. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this, but I think times have changed in terms of how expensive or inexpensive the strings of tzitzis are.
Times have changed, and everything can change as far as what's called begedish beged isha.
Yeah, that's a different story. That's a different question. Yeah, I mean, that means in terms of begedish and begedish and chenati, things do change. The Gemara has certain activities that are considered to be begedish that we do practice today. The Gemara says, "Not allowed to look in a mirror." Must be the favorite that a man's not allowed to look into a mirror. That's the chanoshim. Men don't look into mirrors. So the post came right. This man says, "Men do look in the mirrors." So it's not considered to be a begedisha. So yeah, the nochin. I mean, that area of halacha for sure things change because the Torah doesn't spell out what's begedish, what's begedisha. Whatever the derech chanoshim is in that particular time and place.
You shouldn't wear them.
You don't gain anything by wearing them, and you may lose according to some. Maybe Mechashim is not right. If there's no area by which you should not wear them, even though I think Meikra did, it's okay. If there's manazah, I don't think they're really you're going to recycle them. Unless a person has tcheles. People who have tcheles taco would probably, may possibly recycle. I don't know. When it gets ruined, you just throw it out. It's not worth it. You can't recycle it. Yeah. See, even the tcheles is manazah, that's not so
chashim. It's expensive, but it's like
it's not that. So it's not that expensive.
It's like a cup of coffee, so, you know.
It's not that expensive. Okay, see, we live in a world of instant chelis. Yeah, in today, out tomorrow. Okay. Anyway, whatever it is. So, again, this the ha'ara, the pashas, that din in the Gemara probably wouldn't apply for as much as that. But again, I'm not advocating wearing fossil tzitzis in the street. It's because of this din that you're not allowed to wear fossil tzitzis. It's not a Gemara, you couldn't wear fossil tzitzis into the street on Shabbos, that some of the poskim raised the question about are we permitted to wear tzitzis b'chlal as man as that on Shabbos. Why? So when we started off the shiurim about tzitzis, so we quoted this machlekes atenoim with the tcheles as ba'akev. And we pask in the halacha tcheles as ba'akev. We pask in as long as you have the white string, so you yetzi the mitzvah b'diyevet. But there's one time that disagrees, and one rishon the pask that way. That was the Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor's opinion was that we pask in the tcheles as ba'akev. So therefore, the Baal HaMor actually didn't wear tzitzis. He never wore tzitzis because the Baal HaMor held that since tcheles is ma'akev, if you're going to wear a four-cornered beged and you're not going to put tzitzis on the four-cornered beged, that's worse. If you don't put a four-cornered beged on altogether, so nishka felt, so you don't gain, you don't lose. But if you put a four-cornered beged on and you hold that tcheles is ma'akev, So then you're not yoytze in the mitzvah. That's the equivalent of wearing a beged without wearing tzitzis. That's a much more of a serious problem. So according to the lomdus of the Baal Amor, bizman as if you don't have tchelis, your tata shouldn't wear a talis, shouldn't wear a talis katan. So that's what the Ramban writes in the Masechah Shabbos, that the Ramban never met the Baal Amor. The Ramban lived in Spain, but lived in Provence and southern France. But the Ramban writes that Shemanu alav lo lovash tzitzis miyolim. We heard that the Baal Amor never wore tzitzis. Taka right, l'shitaso. Taka should have wore tzitzis, but we don't pass like that. Shulchan Aruch, his opinion is not even quoted. We assume that tchelis is not the achir, therefore we should be wearing tzitzis. But the Beis Yosef quotes that there were some who were nervous to wear tzitzis on Shabbos. Why? Because on Shabbos, so lo yitzui that tchelis is ma'akev, so then it turns out that you're wearing a beged without wearing tzitzis. And you're wearing a beged worse, a beged with posel tzitzis. So wearing a beged with posel tzitzis is a more serious problem on Shabbos. So there were some who had to practice not to wear tzitzis on Shabbos out in the street, because they felt that in case the Baal Amor was right, so that would be the equivalent of carrying. So that minig that some had in the days of Beis Yosef, so the briskers have that today. The real briskers don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos. They don't walk out on the street on Shabbos, because they don't hold from any Erevin anyway. That's a different story with the Rambam, so none of the Erevin are good anyway for them. And they would not wear tzitzis on Shabbos. I know some people who come from that family, last name is Salvechik, people who talk Adayim is that, do not wear tzitzis on Shabbos, because they're chayshish that maybe the Baal Amor is right, and vis-a-vis the carrying on Shabbos. So the Yemes is, according to what we said before, it's a very, very hard chumrah to understand, because the only reason why the Gemara says that the tzitzis are not considered to be a part of the beged is because you're going to take them off and reconstitute them, recycle them. Here, I'm not going to take them off. I said, here, this is my tzitzis. Whether I'm yaitzi, whether I'm not yaitzi, but I'm doing anything to these strings are going to stay on this beged, the olam vod. So the whole svar of the Gemara, what tzitzis is considered to be carrying, is because they're not part of the beged, because they're going to be taken off and reused on something else. So they're not bottled to the beged, and they're choshev. Whereas here, even if the Baal Amor is right, even Zolzayin the Baal Amor is right, but tachlis, this is what my beged looks like. This is what my tzitzis look like. And 6 days a week, I consider them to be part of the beged. So even if Klapi Shmaya guy, the Baal Amor is right, what does that have to do with carrying? So it's a very hard chumrah to understand. But so there are some who have this practice. So I call upon him on Shabbos as a different, unique status in terms of tzitzis. According to the Mordechai, so the wearing of tzitzis is less of a problem on Shabbos, because since the mitzvah is mitzvah esse, it's not a mitzvah los esse. So on Shabbos, it's not shayach for me to attach the strings. So if I find myself wearing a four-cornered bag without strings, according to the Mordechai, that's better than on Tuesday. On Tuesday, I got to take the bag off right away and put the strings on. On Shabbos, I can leave the bag on. It's not a problem. But when it comes to the issue of wearing poslet tzitzis, or wearing poslet tzitzis may be more of a problem of Shabbos in terms of carrying than obviously it is during the week. So Shabbos has its unique issues in both pros and cons in terms of as it relates to the mitzvah of tzitzis. So that's your next week. We'll continue with me. You gotta catch up with the briskers.